Hey guys, Charlie here. A quick reminder before we kick off today's episode that Will and I are coming back to the live stage April 7th at the Basement Comedy Club in Melbourne. We're doing another TOEFOP Live. It'll be me, it'll be Will, it'll be special guest Deeksy, most likely, and you'll want to be there. There's a link in the episode description, so check it out once you've listened to this awesome show.
A Listener Production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today.
We are two guys, one
car. Everyone relax. It is Sunday, March the 10th. Welcome to Two Guys, One Cup, an AFL adjacent podcast. My name is Will Anderson.
My name is Charlie Clawson, and I did not think I would experience anything as painful as watching the Demons play the Swans on Thursday night. But it turns out when you take three attempts to start your own little dinky football adjacent podcast, it can be just as excruciating.
It's fair to say we are playing in the podcasting equivalent of slippery conditions.
Yeah.
We are both in, we're both away from home.
Yep.
We're both in an foreign environment. You know, like it's new in the season. We're getting our processes back in place about how we do these sort of things. And we've had a couple of, fair to say, false starts, technical difficulties, early teething problems. You know, I noticed it a bit, I've got to say, in the commentary of some of the games that I saw on the weekend. I felt like the commentators weren't fully back, you know, as sharp as they get during the commentary. It felt like everyone just felt a little like, you know, opening round, not everyone was ready. I think it took everyone a little bit by surprise. I feel like everyone's like, we'll be right by next week.
Yeah.
Like this is just to get our eye in, but we'll all be fine by next week.
Even BT's bullying of Richo was kind of off. Like he made some comment in the Pies-Giants game that just didn't make any sense. It was like, you know, he turns this way and that and then gets rid of the ball. I reckon you'd turn this way and that, Richo. And it's like, what? What does that even mean? I don't understand.
What are you talking about?
Let's just call him stupid. You're better at when just like it's clear what you're making fun of him about.
You're dumb, Richo. Just say that occasionally. Just like out of context. It doesn't have to have anything to do with what's going on. That's a goal. Wowee. You're dumb, Richo.
I think a memo must have gone out, maybe prompted by this very podcast. You know, we talked about, you know, how cliched it is with Nick Larkey that all the commentators refer to him as the lizard. And I watched quite a few bits of play that he
was. Are we talking about Nick Blakey? Because I mean, this is good. Nick Larkey. Oh. So this is good. Two guys, one cup areas. We are, again, a little slippery conditions.
It is.
This is round zero. This is podcast zero. We're just getting it right.
Here I am about to make fun of the commentators for getting shit wrong, and I've called him Nick Larkey. But they,
it's the only reason that I picked you up was I knew that you were about to do that, and I was like, everyone's going to be concentrating on the fact that he said the wrong name, and now I might as well get it ahead of this.
But they really held back. Richo did let one slip a little bit later, but it wasn't the normal, like, you know, elbowing in the ribs of like, let's everyone have a go. We're calling the lizard, and we're just like, you can hear the snickering in the back of the commentary box. And I just wonder if either they've grown or we've had an influence on the commentators.
I think that, you know, when something reaches like everyone refers to the lizard as the lizard now. It's become part of the general vernacular. I feel like it's like when a TikTok thing becomes a mainstream term, right? Like then suddenly the people who originally used that term who were talking about things being lit or riz or whatever the equivalent is. I think that's what the lizard is in commentators' terms. It's become a cliche. Like it's become so part of the broad mainstream football narrative that it is appropriate to be able to refer to him as the lizard, and there's a general understanding amongst the football population that we all know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's almost become a cliche now.
Yeah, okay. So it's, but the joy used to be in because it felt like an insult, and that's what the commentators were enjoying was the fact they were making fun of his running style, that he looks like an upright lizard. I'm not sure if we even nailed it when we first talked about this, but it comes from the fact that they think he resembles a lizard when he runs on his hind legs, that sort of chest out, kind of straight back running style. But
yeah, or like honestly, a dinosaur. Like he's got you know what I mean? Like
the biggest of all the lizards, Will.
The giant lizard. Like, I mean, he is big too. Why have we limited our expectations for who he could become by just making him a lizard when we could have picked, like, surely there's a dinosaur that he more resembles than a lizard.
You're right. Like in the way footy nickname etymology, there should be four or five more steps added. You shouldn't just go to the first thing. Yeah. He should be T-Rex, right? He should be Rex Hunt. Because, you know,
That's right. Oh, yeah, Hunty.
The tyrannical lizard, the T-Rex, Rex Hunt. Yibbida, yibbida, yibbida. That's what we're calling him all
yibbida.
Year.
No, that's his nickname, yibbida.
Did any of the games bring you particular, like, joy or excitement? I mean, the Carlton win, as much as I fear a dominant Carlton, like, I could not get over how they got back into that game. Like, it looked so all done by halfway through the second quarter. And then... like sometimes you feel like the AFL is scripted, right? Like for Harry Mackay to take that shot, considering the commentary around him, if I was a Blues fan, and I try not to think like a Blues fan whenever I can, but yeah. I mean, what a great start to the season. And I'm sure that Blues fans now will be humble during the week. They'll keep a lid on it. It's all going to be sweet.
Well, to speak to that, I think this is why this is the perfect result for the season, because I think we both commented on the fact that Blues fans had been uncharacteristically trying to keep a lid on it over the summer, right? Yeah. There'd been this real feeling that they actually got to where they've been talking about where they should be for so long. They finally actually got to that rarefied air last season, and there's now actually genuinely potential that they could become amongst, you know, the top four, even the best team in the entire competition. And then over the summer, suddenly that Blues are, they were uncharacteristically quiet because they knew that this is actually a real thing now. And then when that first quarter was happening and I was like, oh, here we go, same old, here's Carlton again, they're just going to be terrible. And I was like, I was a bit bored by that. Like, I've got to be honest with you, when they were getting belted, I was like, so we're just going to go what? Back to Carlton being bad and then we're going to go through the same thing? No, this is much better because this gets their expectations way out of control, right? Because the comeback, like that moment, just the Blues fans all dressed as the Blues Brothers.
I mean,
you suddenly were like, here we go. It's up and about now. This is what Carlton is all about.
I actually must admit, though, that group of fans, and I don't know who organized it or whatever, but I enjoyed it in both halves of the game. When they were getting belted, I'm like, more shots of the miserable looking Blues fans. But then when they started to come back and they were going crazy, I was like, more shots of the happy looking Blues fans. It was all good.
Well, that's what I mean about when you say, is it scripted? Is there a pantomime opening round of the AFL? This game would be a great argument for that, because not only do you have that Mackay moment, big storyline coming out of last season, does he still even have a place in the team? Is he a reliable shot? What's he done with his goal kicking? Like, that might be the missing part of the Carlton equation to take them to the next level, if Harry can contribute, you know, in that major way. And so that's got to raise their expectations and their hopes, seeing him play so well. But it's a long season. Mm. It doesn't mean that, you know, he's not going to have another game where his kicking's no good, because even the best kicks in the game have those games. So it's when that comes along and how he deals with that's going to be the more interesting thing. But you've got all the storylines from the game. You've got Doherty hurting his health again and doing his ACL. Like such a beloved player. Suddenly, is that their Bob Murphy moment, right? Mm. Like, you know, is there, like, do you need a storyline like that? Or is, like, Kadeen Coleman that for Brisbane? Can Brisbane win the premiership without, like, Coleman, who'd kind of become that, like, you know,
dashing halfback?
Right. So if you're talking about storylines and setting up storylines for the season, you have these two powerhouse clubs who go into this game. Brisbane lose at home, separated by a point, almost an opposite game to the game they played at the end of last season, where the different team got the jump and the other one came back. Like, this is, like if you're setting up a sequel, if you're going like going into like this is a real sort of like next season of like wrestling or a show, or going everything you thought you knew is actually wrong.
That's right.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. It's perfect.
And so it's an incredible setup, I think, for those teams and the season that those two teams are going to have.
It was – I felt like in that second quarter, like if Brisbane, they just missed a lot of shots, and it felt like one or two of those goals would have just shut the door on Carlton. But I got to say, and I hate giving Carlton compliments, but Paddy Cripps, like he has to be one of the most universally admired or admirable players going around, right? Like when they were in the shit, he was just like this Sherman tank. Just every time you saw a shot of him, he was on his hands and knees or he's picking himself off the ground and he just goes again. And it's like, the football club doesn't deserve a player as good as Paddy Cripps. That's what I'm saying.
I think there's only one group of people in football society who don't rate Paddy Cripps, and they are Carlton fans from 3 years ago.
That's right. Because they wanted to trade him back to WA because his back was fucked. There was also a moment in the game that I had to check what time of the quarter it was because I saw a time and forward half stat come up and it was 90 seconds into the first quarter. What is going on there? Like, is that something we genuinely need to know about, or did the stats guy fuck up and just flash that up too early?
I mean, that feels like a round zero error that will be addressed by opening my real round one.
Now, I want to talk about some of the new looks that were debuted in round zero.
Okay.
Some players that we were familiar with that we thought we knew that have come back with drastically new looks. The first one we hinted at in the preseason is Matty Rao with his Robin Hood little beard and mustache combo. Thoughts?
I mean, firstly, best on ground, like Matty Rao
20
in the performance.
Clearances. He had more clearances than some players had possessions.
20 clearances. So whatever he's doing, keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like I think he was stealing possessions from the possession rich and distributing them to the poor.
Yeah, his wingers.
He is the Robin Hood. He steals from the opposition and he distributes, you know, to everybody else.
Gold Coast are the needy, right? They're a needy club. He's delivering hope. He's stealing hope from other teams. Stole Richmond's hope of a new season with a new coach and just gave it to the long-suffering Gold Coast fans.
Yeah. He was out the back killing, like as the Richmond players were coming into the ground, Matt Rao was out the front just like eating some of the grass, and he strangled a camel live in front of them. it's what I think of your camel.
I saw Ben King. He was also sporting a similar goatee. Now, this is good with the King brothers because I have noticed that every season – they must have an agreement that one has facial hair and one doesn't. So Max last year had the big Borat mustache and Ben was clean shaven. But then obviously it's Ben's turn to have facial hair and Max has gone clean shaven this year.
I mean, do you think that is an agreement that just develops, or do you think that one day they sit down as like brothers and just say, we've got to, like, because, you know, as you grow up as twins, I imagine you're always being confused for each other because they do look, you know, very similar to each other. So I imagine that right through their lives, they've wanted to differentiate themselves from each other. So do you think this would be something that they've had a version of since they were like young? Or do you think there's one day where they're like, look, you know, we're going to have to go into the AFL and people are going to try to tell us apart and we're just going to have to, like, this is my beard year?
Well, I think they are so identical. And from what I understand, they're very close. They speak a few times a week that for their own benefit and their own sanity when they're doing Zoom calls. They're like, one of us has to have a beard because otherwise I feel like I'll get confused about who I am.
I'm talking to myself.
I don't know which one I am.
I think I'm in Fight Club.
And now Ben King, like 5 goals, I think that's his highest score in a game.
It is.
Do you think that Ben lives in Max's shadow? Because Max was the higher draft pick, even though only like 4 picks apart. I think Max was 4 and Ben was 8, something like that. Do you think that they are equal, or one is in the shadow of the other? Because it feels like Ben's had the better career so far. He's definitely, apart from the knee injury, he's been more consistent on the field and has done more, probably kicked more goals. But it somehow feels like everyone's expectations for Max are higher.
I feel about the same.
Right.
Like, honestly, which I'm sorry in a twin sense, but I do genuinely kind of go, they feel about as good as each other. Like, if you heard your club was going to recruit one of the Kings, you wouldn't, like, be too worried which one of it was. Yeah. Like, you'd be like, yeah, cool. Cool. I'd be happy if we could just get a King.
Yeah.
We'd, you know.
What about if it was the Mackay brothers, Ben or Harry?
Well, at the moment, Harry, right? But the interesting thing will be whether Ben is a better player at a different team.
And that's the amazing thing, right? Like, it's like none of us know, is Ben Mackay actually any good because of the team he was at? Well, we know he's big. But can he actually play? I mean, it might be the greatest ruse of all time. Like, maybe the Kangaroos knew something that the Bombers didn't. They're like, oh, yeah, sure, you can take him on an 800,000 contract. Sure, take Ben Mackay.
Well, I don't know if there's ever been a player who's played as many games or as many seasons at least as Ben Mackay has, because I know he's missed a few games. But as many seasons as he's played without any of us having a real idea whether he's amazing or no good at all.
We call it the Jeremy McGovern, not Jeremy McGovern, who's the other? Mitch McGovern.
Mitch McGovern.
Mitch McGovern effect. Okay, another look that was debuted in round zero was Chad Warner. Chad Warner has got rid of his distinctive Steve Sanders curly locks and is now sporting a very Tom Papley-esque kind of crew cut with the shaves, with the side shave. I don't know. I didn't recognize him at first and I wasn't sure if I liked it.
What do you feel about, like, do you think it feels like it changes the way he moves or attacks the ball? Like, does it give him a different energy on the field?
I thought so in the first half because he was a little quiet and then he sort of came alive in the third quarter. But he's not as distinct. There's a lot of players who have that kind of haircut and I just feel like it's just robbed him a little bit of his Brownlow. Like, the umpires aren't going to notice him as much with – he's got the same haircut as like 80% of the league. I like the Steve Sanders, you know, blonde frosted curls.
Yeah. Like, I think what I liked about them was they were good hair. It was good hair for – what this says to me that is he's paying a little attention to what's going on off the field more than on the field, because I can't imagine that back in the day – he was getting any action at all with that horrible fucking haircut that he had off the field, right? That is a terrible haircut to have in a day-to-day life. But on the football field, it looked amazing, that big, floppy, curly, ridiculous haircut. Like, I was like, that's great. Very identifiable look, right? Mm. But maybe this new look is just a bit more adaptable into the world.
Or is it part of that kind of Swans, no dickheads policy? Yeah. Like, they want everyone to, it's, you know, everyone's got to be the same. It's kind of egalitarian at the Swans.
I don't think that should be the case. Like, I know they have a no dickheads policy, but I think at the Swans they don't need more unidentifiable players.
Yeah.
I feel like they already have a few that it's hard to tell who they are. I'm always like when I say, like, Robbie Fox, is it that, you know, Fox from the Swans?
Yeah.
I'm always like, has he been playing for like 100 years or has he been playing for 2 years? I can't tell.
Another player to debut a new look was Harry Himmelberg, who's gone with a real slim, shady, cropped and peroxided his hair.
Oh.
Almost looks like he's on the lam. He's trying to evade the authorities by completely, because he's sort of, you know, he for a long time he had the long sort of ponytail.
Yeah.
And then he had like a nice kind of shaggy blonde surfer, very Sydney haircut. But now he's gone, peroxide crew cut. He actually played a lot angrier. He played like the real Slim Shady yesterday, I thought, very physical. But I'm just not sure that I like it. I just feel like maybe, well, you know what? In an era where every player is sporting a mullet, you know, bring him the 80s back, I don't mind that someone has brought the late 90s, early 2000s back.
I'm interested in this because, like, he is a pretty good-looking fella, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like Himmelberg, yeah. And so I think originally he was rocking some sort of Point Break meets Vikings kind of vibe, right?
Very boaty. Like, yes.
Yeah, right? And I liked it. It seemed to really suit him. And then he sort of, tidied up his act a little bit as well. And I'm like, you know what? He makes this work as well. I like the old look, but I've got to say he makes his new look work as well. I've not seen this next evolution.
Mm.
Has he gone too far? That would be my immediate thing is you've got a good natural look anyway. Do you need to add, like, is hair dye, is your Slim Shady for your operators that need a little bit more distraction and help, and like you're just naturally good looking cats, you should stick to being naturally good looking.
Here's what I'll say about the Giants, right? Yeah. And as you recall, I have tipped the Giants to win the flag and I feel very confident.
I think you'll find I also tipped the Giants to win the flag, didn't I?
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. All right. I don't remember that. I feel like you're muscling in trying to take credit for my bold prediction, but sure. I did it first, is what I'm trying to say.
Did you?
Yes.
Someone will be able to listen back to the episodes and tell us if any of this is true, because it's a month since we did any of those episodes.
We can't remember
what we said or who said it.
But watching them, and what a phenomenal football team. And I remember years ago when, you know, early days of this podcast, I was not a Giants fan, and I sort of compared them to the Cobra Kai bullies from The Karate Kid. And now I feel like they're Cobra Kai, the new TV series, where Johnny has been, you know, reimagined as actually the hero of the story. And that's how I feel about the Giants.
Yes.
And what is kind of, you know, the reason I sort of wrote them off in the early days was like, oh, they're all kind of, you know, these top draft picks, probably, you know, a lot of them come from private school football factories and, you know, they've just always been winners their whole lives. They've never faced any adversity. But now I feel like as a club, they have faced sufficient adversity through the, you know, 2019 grand final and losing their coach and all this kind of stuff. So you look at those players and it's like, yeah, they're still all guns, but, you know, they've been hardened. They didn't really have a joker in the pack. Ever since Toby Green went legit and started being like leadership material, If Himmelberg wants to be like, you know, every kind of, you know, Dirty Dozen or whatever, there's always the joker in the pack, the crazy one, the Mad Murdoch.
Yeah.
If that's going to be Himmelberg, and that is typified by, like, even Jesse Hogan last night was playing a real selfless game and has become very reliable. And the commentators were talking about how he's a real clubman now. The Giants value him not just for what he brings on the field, but his leadership around. Like, that wouldn't have been the discussion around Hogan 5 years ago. They need a lair. And if it's going to be Himmelberg, he's got the name, it's alliteration, Harry Himmelberg. He's got the Slim Shady haircut. He can take that title as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I've got to be honest with you. If you told me there was a cool white rapper that was going up the charts and his name was Harry Himmelberg, I'd be like, yeah, that sounds like a thing that could be the case. So you're right, yeah. Okay, I like this. I said GWS and Brisbane would play in the grand final.
Okay, maybe that's what you said. That was your lock of the week,
And GWS, yes. I mean, they've started well. They've done nothing in that opening round, in round zero, in four-play round, to dissuade me from that notion. Like, Hogan looks even better than he was. Brown.
Oh, I mean, Callum Brown. Can we just take a second to talk about this kid?
Yes.
Does not grow up playing the game and potentially is the most reliable shot for goal that in the competition. And his style, like, it's not.
There's an argument to be made that we don't let kids kick actual AFL footballs until they're 20.
100%. Because it's not your traditional kicking action. Like, he drops it a bit higher, he's very sort of upright. But fuck, he kicks straight and he kicks it so far and makes it look so easy. Like, that last shot he had tied against the boundary line, he'd already kicked four. No reason he needed to slot that, but just did it like he was shelling peas. And it's like, fucking hell, man. Like, if you've got a team that can bring in a dude like that, and essentially he's a role player, right, within that side. He's not your Josh Kelly or your Toby Green or, you know, Buckley or any of their kind of key players. Like, he's the icing on top, but fucking hell, he's good.
Yes. I mean, they are a very, very good football team.
Yeah. And the way they're flicking it around as well, like, that was something that really I noticed it was almost, you know, Richmond in the Dimmer era. They just knocked it on almost like the Harlem Globetrotters. Like, they don't feel like they have to take possession and take the contact. They'll just like tap it on, keep the ball moving and trust that with their run and spread, they will get an advantage again at some point.
But let's talk about what we really need to talk about here when it comes to GWS, which is the enormous amount of social media swagger they bring to the table. And not just social media, but the willingness to do those activations. Like the fact that they had the Mason Cox petting zoo set up at the ground. There are just so many other clubs that just would like, that would not do that. And I just love it. I love what everything they do on social media, the fights they're willing to pick with other teams. Like they know their role and they just are playing it perfectly at the moment. They deserve, like they have earned their place so well in the AFL, both in on the field, like in their record, you know, because I agree with you. I think they've been in the long enough now that if they won the premiership, you could say they earned it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's enough of a story there that they, you know, but they've earned it in so many other ways, which is, yes, I know that like football in Western Sydney is still not and may never be, you know, the biggest thing in the world, Australian rules football. It might never break through on that level, but this team is absolutely doing every possible thing they could be doing to make themselves a presence in New South Wales. And I love it. I love their swagger. I love their attitude. I think they're funny. They genuinely are a properly funny organisation.
And if you want a little bit of a primer on the history of the Giants, our mate Alex Williams has a new podcast, They Could Be Giants, in which him and a mate who is not really an AFL fan, more of an NRL fan, he's trying to convert him to football and he takes you through the history of the Giants. And it was actually cool listening to like a genuine fan sort of take you through all the sort of key milestones that had happened because you sort of forget, you know, that like the Giants have been involved in some pretty key moments and have had some pretty like key players in their very short history. Now, I'm all about the Giants. Like it's funny, I've never had this feeling about another team before that I'm like, oh, I genuinely want them to do well and I'm going to look forward to watching them play every week just because of the style of footy they play.
Yeah, I agree. And I can't believe that team is the Giants. I mean, particularly as a – it's so counterintuitive. Mm. You know, it's one of those things where they're the created team. They're in Western Sydney. They don't. None of them live there. Like there's all these reasons why you shouldn't like them, but I just think they've earned the right for people to get behind GWS.
And you're a Bulldogs fan. Like these guys were your sworn enemy for quite a while.
I know.
But they've moved on beyond the Bulldogs. They've gone past you guys. That rivalry seems like it's small fry now. They're eyeing off for like the Pies. They've gone for the big fish.
They're calling out the premiers and then taking them down. They're calling them out, putting together a fucking petting zoo and then taking them down. Like it's to be admired if you think about it like that.
Did you see that Steve Waugh was there? I know he's been doing some work with the club. I thought that must have kind of won you over knowing how much you love Steve Waugh.
I mean, I was already won over, but it just adds to it. I'm like – like it's one of those things where I'm like, oh God, why are you so attractive? If you're gonna make me think less about my own team, why am I so interested in this team and all their memes? Why am I never looking at the Bulldogs page in the way that I look at the Giants page? Why do I feel so alive when I see what you're doing on social media in a way that I don't feel alive when I look at my own club socials?
I always feel like everyone loses their minds after round one. Results, like, you know.
Yes, of course.
It doesn't mean anything. Like, it's a long season. Do you think there's
even more so with round zero.
I was going to say, there's even less to read into. Like, Collingwood fans don't have to worry. Brisbane fans don't have to worry.
I mean, I think Brisbane fans would be more worried about Coleman being out for the year. I think as a Brisbane fan, you're less worried about the result and more worried about that one key injury to a player who's so pivotal, I think, to – yeah, your chances of, yeah, like going to that next level. I don't think Collingwood are worried, do you?
No.
Would you think that Collingwood would be worried?
No, and like of all the things I've seen with Craig McRae, this he'll turn this into some kind of like motivation, you know, some great wake-up call. How can we galvanise around this early sort of, yeah, we've got a genuine challenge to get over and people are going to be doubting us and stuff. But they didn't even look particularly fussed on the field when it was clear the game was getting away from them. And look, I know I've brought this up about Nick Daicos before, but I cannot fathom and I don't feel enough people are talking about the way he is revolutionising the way he passes the ball. Like he just kicks the ball in whatever fashion he needs to get it to
where it needs
where
to go.
It doesn't have to spin in any particular way. And I started watching the David Beckham documentary.
The ball is currently in my hands. Yeah. It needs to be in that person's hands over there, and I will just use whatever the best method is at the time to make that happen.
I was watching the David Beckham documentary a couple nights ago. Yeah. And the first episode they talk about, you know, that's where Bend It Like Beckham came from, is that he was just able to make the ball move in ways that other players just couldn't. And I'm like, is this a kind of like a parallel here with Nick Daicos? They're both these young, you know, players who've hit the scene, good looking, marketing deals up the wazoo, but also are bringing something to the game that is revolutionary. Like, do you think enough people talk about this, or am I missing the boat?
I think it's becoming more and more obvious that, you know, that's his great skill that he is bringing that is slightly different to what people have done before, is he's just like, he has this all around. So does he need a slogan? Maybe it's just not cut through because it doesn't have that same bend it like Beckham. So
dob it like, it like Daicos.
Yeah. Yeah. Kick it like Nick. I mean, no, that's too, dob it like Daicos is better.
Yeah.
Dob it like Daicos is not bad. But Dobbit
suggests goal kicking, whereas we're talking, it's more his field kicking that I'm impressed with. Like he just
Dab it like Daicos. No, is he dabbing it?
No, because then it's just that's just a meme, and then GWS will make fun of us and we'll be humiliated. let's not bring in any TikTok memes.
Live in fear of being humiliated by the GWS social account.
Dab it like Daicos. Well, how about we open it up to the fans? If you can think
That's good.
Yeah. If you can think of a term that adequately describes what Nick Daicos is doing with the ball, then we'll forget to read it out next week.
Because Dad was dribble like Daicos, but this
clearly didn't dribble because I got two of them. But you're right, he did invent that kind of, well, he mastered that dribble kick towards goal.
Yes, but this is not a dribble. Like this is not a dribble. This is a
he kicks it
this
through
is
the
something.
Air. It spins.
Yeah, it's an air dribble.
Yeah, what? I mean, traditionally it would be called a floater. Like if you kicked it or I kicked it like that, you know, when we were playing junior footy, your coach would have called it a floater because it's not spinning properly. So it's like he's reclaimed the floater.
I mean, he's the pie's floater. I'm in Adelaide, so pie floaters.
Brilliant. The pie's floater. Yeah, forget having Harry's cafe to wheels
for a pie's floater. We'll theme it. We'll get it. That's why we'll get it at the AFL restaurant and bar. We'll get the pie's floater. We are two guys, one
car. One more look I wanted to bring up, Will. Brody Grundy hasn't changed his physical appearance, but obviously his colours have changed. Uh-huh. And all I could think of when I saw him running around in those stripy red and white socks was he looks like a giant elf on the shelf.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know that?
I can see
that.
The
elf on the shelf have the really long legs with the red and white stripy socks.
Yes.
He looks like a giant elf on the shelf.
Candy stripe. And he's kind of got that.
Long legs.
Yeah, if you got him a little elf hat, which I think he would look delightful in.
Yeah.
Like I could absolutely see. Yeah, okay. So could they like do a sort of like Brody Grundy style elf on a shelf merchandising? Is there like
Brody, you know, like on your, what would it be, Grundy?
What about like,
a Grundy for? They sell them for $100 each, and it's a Grundy for a hundy.
Grundy for a hundy,
and it's a little Brody Grundy that you can stick on your dashboard when you're driving to games. Grundy for a hundy.
Oh, on your dashboard?
Your Hyundai. So you've got a Grundy for your hundy. You got a Grundy for a hundy for your hundy.
Your hundy.
It's a Grundy for your hundy. Only Hyundai drivers can buy.
Or if you have a Humvee,
you
can put it on your Humvee. Or, you know, you can just buy the basic version, the ruck for your truck.
Ruck for your truck. did you feel any schadenfreude watching the D's fumble their season opener?
No, I've moved.
You've let beef is squashed.
I've left. Yeah, squash beef.
Oh, that's good. I feel like I've squashed the Swans beef too. I don't know who my new target of my anger will be, maybe Adelaide. I've got a bad feeling I'm not going to like Adelaide this year. But that's good to know. So you just sort of felt genuine, just kind of like, what, nothing?
I feel like
a little bit of joy at seeing them like constantly fuck up and have no connection in their forward line? No.
No.
Okay.
No. I feel like I've clean slate Melbourne and I, and I feel like they've had their troubles. I was interested to see how – look, I've bought into Christian Petrarca a little bit more now with the
– cooking.
You know, now that you've introduced him to the the cooking. He's a more rounded character.
Yeah.
I see him as more interesting. And then, you know, I was interested in the Clayton Oliver story. I like Max Gawn a lot.
Oh, he looked tired though, didn't he? I mean, it felt like he needed a backup ruckman to give him a chop out.
Him and
Paddy Cripps were the two of the most tired looking captains I saw on the weekend. They were both always just like doubled over, getting smacked in the middle of the ground.
I felt bad for Max because basically Max is such a good player and his whole last month's been ruined by every time he's had a like press conference. He's had to talk about all the problems at Melbourne that like, so he's had a terrible month coming into the season. They've gone to the first round of the season where he has to go up against the guy that all last year's fuss and, you know, it was all about the guy that he got to come to the club, then couldn't work without the club and is now not at the club anymore. But also the guy who knows how to make his day the hardest,
yeah.
Right? So like, yeah, it was like Max played pretty well, I thought still, but oh my God, like I have always had a soft spot for Shaqy and I've always wanted to see Shaqy be able to make it at the top level, but it does kind of look like it's never going to, I don't know. It feels like it's never going to quite, I hope he does at some stage, but it didn't look like that role they played him in at Melbourne was going to be what did it.
I think a fourth club, that's when it'll click. When he gets to a fourth club. Tom Hickey style.
Well, that's right. I mean, sometimes that is the case, right? Maybe they just – everyone like has a go at – like maybe – you know what? Maybe there should be a player that you can only like a one-season player. Like you use them for one season and then they go into someone else's list and they can have a whole career.
I think that's what they'll do when they bring in the mid-season trades, right? That will be a bit similar. There's those players that he's a guy that is on the fringe of our list. We'll get rid of him because we need a defender or whatever. So that's not far from what the mid-season trade will be like.
I mean, in a way, that's fun, like for a player. If you're not that good a player, you're like, you know what? I'm going to go and see how they do it at Hawthorn. Yeah. Meet some new people.
Do you think that the clubs still do, hey, like play for the jumper and the pride and all that kind of stuff. Like, can you still use that as a motivating factor when mid-season trading becomes a thing and it's like, do it for the jumper for this week and the next week do it for another jumper?
I mean, they're doing it for another jumper next week regardless. Like there's so many jumpers now. So it's hard to even say, do it for the jumper. Which jumper? I think it's actually that. No, it's a different jumper this week. It's the
So let's talk about the Suns again a little bit more because I was very interested to sort of – I feel like of all the rivalries in this opening round, this one was like probably had the least amount of spice in the sense that – if you're a Richmond supporter, are you really going to begrudge Dimmer? Like, do you really feel abandoned that, you know, after three premierships, he felt like he just needed some time off?
Nah, they tried to fire it up and it didn't feel like anyone's heart was really in the firing up. Even the Gold Coast, there was some cardboard dusties in the Gold Coast. Even that felt real. We're trying to get something going that is not going to get going.
Yeah, someone put the Suns social media team in touch with the Giants when it comes to trolling.
Exactly.
You need something else there. But it just sort of felt like even if Richmond had won, I don't know, like I don't know that it would have – I feel like what has to happen with the Gold Coast is they need to get on an exceptional run, like win the first six or something like that because – they've been so mediocre for so long and the expectations are so low, it's going to take something extraordinary to even like register with the AFL media.
I think the Gold Coast expectations seem to be, from what I've heard, people are all like, I might take a year. They're sort of giving them a year. Whereas I think, I don't know, like the way they played in that first half, I mean, I don't think Richmond are obviously going to be one of the better teams in the competition probably. Mm. But the way that Gold Coast played in that first half, you're like, yeah, this is what we all thought this team could be. Like, yeah. And if he could get that going and get them to play like that every week, but I'm not sure that
I mean, I know now Nankervis was out, but their midfield is still pretty solid. You got like Taranto and Hopper and Shea Bolton moves through there. So it wasn't like the Gold Coast were up against kids or anything. They were playing like a hardened, like Richmond's best midfield, and they absolutely demolished them, right?
Yes. And Matt Rao.
And Anderson like, as well. He was good too.
I mean, Anderson had a brilliant season last season, but you've got to understand, Charlie, that Matt Rao's doing it without a single weapon. Like, he doesn't have a weapon. Not one. He was weaponless, and he managed to get 20 clearances.
I haven't watched Kane's hot takes from the weekend's football, but I'm wondering if, like if you had to be think about like all the news that came out of the four games you saw. If you had to be the biggest contrarian, what would your take be? Carlton's win was undeserved.
Carlton. It'd be very hard to be contrarian about the Carlton game. What's your biggest, like, contrarian takeaway from the Carlton game? That Carlton have proved nothing.
Yeah.
That they haven't locked anything in. They're still flaky as they ever have been.
If you're relying on Harry Mackay to save you most weeks, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're in trouble. That's pretty, that's, you know what? They're a better team without Doherty. This will be good for them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a really good contrarian take. All right, maybe we should make that a feature.
Yeah.
Let's do after a round, we'll do what's the most, we'll take the best story from the weekend and what's the most contrarian version of that.
Well, that's good. So that's a pretty good one. Like, there's only four games, let's go through the games and see if there's any other contrarian. What would be your, from the other games, what are your contrarian takes?
So out of the Swans and Melbourne, the big story was Brodie Grundy. You know, Brodie Grundy proved that he's still Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you prove, you say Max Gawn gone.
Yeah.
Can't make it through an entire set. Body too broken, too old. Max can't do it by himself anymore.
Headline is Brodie Grundy proved nothing.
Yeah. Oh, Grundy proved nothing.
Yeah, Grundy proved nothing because Gawn's gone. So that way it's a good contrarian take because you get to take out two sacred cows in the one hit.
Yeah.
It would be the Lions and the Blues. So I reckon, Doherty, they'll be a better team without Doherty. Doherty was holding him back. They've got to look to the future.
Yeah, that's good. Yep.
That's right. Pissed off.
Yeah. Then real pissed off.
Tigers and Suns. So what's the big story? I mean, it was the most kind of expected result out of all of them, don't you think?
I think so.
So there's not like
the Tigers did enough that Uze, like, I mean, if they'd have just been like it was in the first half, but that third quarter meant that like there's no big question marks particularly. About
okay, if I was going to be, I'm putting my cane, my twerp hat on. I'd look at Matt Rao's stats.
Matt Rao, 33 touches,
20 clearances. I'd like to see him get the ball on the outside more.
Yeah,
got to kick more goals.
What about effective disposals? Look at what Nick Dacos is doing. If Matt Rao wants to consider himself one of the best players in the competition, then he's got to learn how to do a pie floater. Bring the pie, less eating grass and more floating pies is what we're going to see from Matt Rao.
Okay, so the Giants.
Yeah, that's good.
Giants and the Pies. What's the contrarian take of that game? So the Giants were dominant, looked fantastic, have just seemed to have improved on last season.
Yeah.
Toby Green, is he captain material? Was quiet by his standards. Is it time to hand the captaincy over to Harry Himmelberg?
I mean, that's pretty good. What about like McRae's way worked once but won't work again? Like, you know, like really just go for like writing off, or are people writing doing off that anyway? Yeah, like completely.
No, I don't think,
is there anyone doing that?
No one's writing off Collingwood. I guess that's the question is what's going to get you more clicks? It'd be the taking a Collingwood angle. Big concern. Yeah, so
I think Collingwood's the big concern, right? So yeah. I just like – I'd write a think piece which was like, the last season of Ted Lasso sucked. Why Craig McRae's way won't win Collingwood a second premiership?
Have Collingwood been found out? That's yeah. that. If you want to make it nice and generic, have Collingwood been found out? Other teams have worked them out. They've got no weapons.
I mean, that, I feel like that's the one that this week someone will trot out.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that's actually the one that is of all the – I love this because we're recording this on a Sunday morning. So we will get to find out during this week of these most ridiculous takes.
Which one is the most
do
accurate?
Any of them actually get a run in the footy media, which is – I think that's a fun part of this game. And I'm going to lock in the idea that the one that I think might – some people might go with this week is that Collingwood would have been worked out.
Yeah. I mean, do you think anyone at this point would – jump on Nick Daicos and say, like, less floaters, more drop punts. Like, let's, like, the result would have been different if Nick Daicos would just stop with these, you know, like, floating airborne, you know, kicking these balls in the air that don't move.
Yeah.
Properly.
Why there's nothing wrong with a good old fashioned drop punt.
Yeah. In the same way that Jason Dunsell used to hate dribble kicks, like, you know, can we sort of say, Nick Daicos, stop lairizing by putting the ball, like, just floating it to your teammates and actually just kick a fucking drop punt, mate?
Oh, yes. Okay.
That, again, that gets, because you're taking down Collingwood and Nick Daicos.
Yeah, that's good clickbait too. I've got even got the hairline. It's the headline. It's a picture of Nick Daicos doing one of those like pies floaters. Yep. And then it just says, like Lair Jordan question mark.
Oh, what about like, what about this one? Headline is Daicos them the game. Or Daicosly.
Acting like a Nick, like so I like this. Good take.
Acting like a Nick. Good one. All right, let's get to a bit of feedback. We got some people who have messaged us with their thoughts about the opening round. If you want to do that, you can follow us, Two Guys One Cup AFL on Instagram and Twitter, or you can send us an email, twoguysonecup@gmail.com. Actually, let's start with the email because this is an interesting observation. This came in from Sharon, the magical jellyfish. Hey guys, opening round we've seen the reemergence of Brodie Grundy at his finest. Post game, he talked about being stung on the ear by a jellyfish that morning, describing it as the worst pain he'd ever felt. If he has a form slump in the coming weeks, do you think we'll see Grundy combing the shores of Sydney, searching for another sting from the magical blue bottle that gave him the superpowers to defeat Max Gawn?
I mean, I here's what I would suggest. I
Players
said, I,
are superstitious.
I don't think I think that the Swans should take it out of Grundy's hands. Like, I mean, I think they've just got to collect blue bottles and every game – on the morning of the game, they've just got to sting him. Yeah. Like, I just think until it doesn't work, like, if something works and it's legal, like, mate, they're all in the pickle juice. Mm. If getting stung in the ear by a blue bottle, imagine if, like, Brodie does this. I guarantee you, if Brodie Grundy 3 weeks in a row played as well as he played then, and he said that on the morning of each game he's been stung in the ear by a blue bottle, there would be other clubs that would suddenly be stinging their players in the ear with a blue bottle.
It's
guarantee it.
Thing. It's like, you know, it's the argument that, you know, Stephen Dank and James Head made. Everyone was doing it. It was just a war of attrition. We're just building up our blue bottle stocks. So instead of like the cold ice plunge, he just gets into a bath filled with blue bottles.
The ice bath is at the end of the game. It's like it's a bath of ice and blue bottles. You just have to dunk your head in.
This came in from Sam Wright on Instagram. Sam Wright 78. Uh-huh. Were the Suns that good, or are Richmond winning the spoon? I think it's somewhere in between those two things.
Bit of
both. I think the Suns were excellent.
Yeah.
But they did let Richmond back in, so they're not like a flawless team.
Yes.
I think. Of the most impressive performances, they're a fair way behind the Giants, for instance. Brian Lightning, which team do you think Tasmania should play against in its first game? The Pies, getting the biggest club you can.
I am still to be convinced there will be a Tasmanian team in the competition, so I don't know. I hope that the Tasmanian team is going to go ahead and everything is going to be fine, but it still feels like that is not the absolute lock that people would like you to believe.
Get down there and start building that stadium if you want the team, guys. If you really want it, start laying some bricks and mortar.
Darwin. They should play Darwin because by then we will also have a Darwin team in the competition.
Jai Drayton on Instagram says, BT is the most annoying commentator. Do you agree? Go Giants. Look, I know a lot of people hate Brian Taylor. I think when adequately deployed, I don't mind a bit of BT. I think BT and JB is a terrible combo because it's too much of the same thing. But I'm not, I don't hate BT at all.
No, but BT at his worst is insufferable. That's the problem with BT. Like when he's good, he's good. But when he's bad, he's horrible.
Well, actually, it's a good opportunity to promote. You did Broden Kelly's podcast, The Footy, and you told quite a funny story about cursing out Brian Taylor during the 2021 grand final, right?
Yeah, well, I remember I was at home by myself because, of course, it was the lockdown grand final, and I had an edible. And I was watching the game by myself. I had not spoken to anybody for like 3 hours, you know, like literally just like silent in the house watching the grand final. And it is halfway through the third quarter. And I believe that the Bulldogs might be about to win the second grand final that I have seen in my lifetime. It's a pretty amazing moment. Bontempelli kicks a goal. And Brian Taylor talks about how Bontempelli is probably going to win the Norm Smith medal when the Bulldogs win this premiership. And I say out loud to no one, I say, shut the fuck up, Brian. And and he cursed us. And I will never forgive him for that. So that might be colouring my commentary around Brian a little bit. Because I think Brian, when Brian is genuinely funny, is – I think Brian, when he is trying too hard to be funny, it annoys the shit out of me. But Brian, when he's just being Brian, can actually be hilariously funny. And I think there's a difference between those two things where he's like – I think he's funnier when he is not trying to be funny. And when he tries to be funny, it can be really annoying.
Yeah, I agree. It's when he's unaware that he's being funny. That's when he's being the funniest. Yeah. You should check out The Footy with Broden Kelly to hear the rest of Will's chat.
It's a great podcast though. It's actually I really enjoy listening to like what they're all doing over there at The Footy, and they've been doing some really cool episodes. They do a whole bunch of different things, and you know, I know that we shouldn't, you know, necessarily
promoting the competition.
Yeah, you rarely hear talking footy give footy classified a plug, but you know, we are gonna. I just think it's a really great podcast.
And so worth checking out because Will does give people a brief history of Two Guys, One Cup. So if you're new to this show, for instance, and you're wondering what the fuck this is all about, go listen to The Footy with Broden Kelly when Will's on, because Will does a brilliant job of summing up why we do this show and what the tone of this show is. A couple more questions off Instagram, Will. This is from Adam Norman. Both prelims are reversed. Should we be expecting a GWS Carlton Grand Final? I could see it.
Oh, well, I said GWS Brisbane, and like the Coleman thing worries you about Brisbane, but it also is that classic reminder, isn't it, that so much of the season depends on like a key injury can change so much at the top of the ladder. But it felt like Carlton and GWS might be two of the really best teams of the season. There's no doubt about that.
This one is from Saland K. I just want to hear everything Hardwick. Has his departure broken the Tigers? Has it made the Gold Coast? Gold Coast on top of the ladder? Well, until the Giants game, that's true. Wait and see. Watch this space. Not sure. I'm going to have to see a larger sample size.
I think Hardwick for the Gold Coast is going to be great for the Gold Coast.
I don't think him leaving the Tigers broke the Tigers. I think it was the natural end of an era.
Yes.
The players that he, you know, the nurtured and brought to fruition in that 3 out of 4 flag era, like I think that they just got older and he moved on. It's very rare that a coach has the wherewithal to leave at the peak of their powers and reset. But I think that's what he's done. I'll be very, very interested to see how the Gold Coast go this year, like most people.
Mate, Damien Hardwick is clearly the Taylor Swift of Australian you know, footy. He's recognised that one era was gone. He's reinvented himself a little. He's in his new era, but it doesn't, you know, mean that his old era wasn't a valid era.
Last question here from Ali Mac 64. Mason Cox smashing into Shane Mumford pre-game, joke or dickhead? I mean, I don't think he's a dickhead. I like Mason Cox. I don't think he was being deliberately provocative. I think he just had his eyes focused on the ball and shoved. I like Mason Cox's kind of arrogance for a guy who has no reason
none
to be so cocky. I'd love it. I'm genuinely impressed by it.
Yes, and that's why it works, because it's kind of pantomime in nature, right? Like, he gets out there and it's real, but it's also heightened and not real and part of the performance of it all. And, like, the reason that GWS were able to do their funny shit is because Meso puts himself out there as well to say ridiculous shit to kind of be part of the pantomime and fun of it all. Yeah. Like, I think he's an enormous contributor to the overall entertainment value of the AFL. And I think that that's where the growth is in the AFL. You look at it with the NFL and how big that Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift thing, but like the podcasts off it, the world around it, the understanding of like other people now being engaged in that world. And I think we have such an old school, and it's the same with this like round zero being out of town. We just have an old school mentality of we should try to appeal to new markets in the way that we like the game, the people who were raised on it, the things that appeal to. Sometimes you've got to actually lure people in with something that maybe they would like, and then they can like the things about it that we like and that we've liked for generations. But sometimes you have to kind of lure them in with something a bit shiny and fun and stuff first.
Yeah, I agree. Mason Cox for PM.
That's what I was saying. Yes, correct. Yes.
All right. That is Two Guys, One Cup for this round zero. We'll be back again to review round one, the proper start to the season. Don't forget, we have lots of great podcasts in this feed. Yes. Everyone Relax, Toe Fop with the Friends, Philosophy. So check them all out. Follow if you can. That is it. Play on, not 15.
Bo.
We love our clubs, but they never win. Two flags in 100 years. That shit house, if you think we'll be insightful, clever, or just well researched. We're here to say that's not the case. We'll just go out and wing it. We are Two Guys, One Cup.
Listener.